B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number three, Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings. A couple days ago, when there was a report from the secondary ticket markets that the Patriots' secondary ticket sales had fallen 40% off of last year, which was the biggest drop in the league. Okay, so again, according to these data sites that look at secondary ticket sales once the NFL schedules announce, they can already tell what the secondary market looks like for these teams. The Patriots have had the biggest drop year over year, 40% on the secondary ticket market, which led us to ask, I think we talked about this on Tuesday, which led us to ask about the long-term popularity of the Patriots, the pink hat factor, how much market share they're going to lose now that Tom Brady is gone, how much market share they will lose if they go back to being a team that doesn't win the Super Bowl every other year. What can we expect? And I've always felt this is now a football town. It'll be a football town. Patriots are in the blood, and that's just the way it is. But when I saw that number, it gave me a little pause. Like, it gave me it concerned me, and it got me to think about it a little bit more, and I began to worry that there's a fair weather fan factor to the Patriots that maybe I'm not appreciating or not accounting for. I hope it's not true. I hope it's not there. I hope the support is hardcore, and it is now for life, and this is what it is. Once the Patriots got real, we became a football town, and they're now in the blood and the heartbeat of the city and all of that. But I don't know. I worry about it, Maz. And so I asked, if the Patriots fall off, how much fan support will they lose? And Maz said he thinks about 1 in 5. I think about 1 in 5 would bail if they go to being just a mediocre team or worse. I said, that's too much. That's too much. Well, NBC Sports Boston asked the question. They asked it of their people yesterday. I don't know how many people they actually polled, but the question was this. 3,100 votes. 3,106 votes. What would make you lose interest in the Patriots? And 81% said nothing. Die hard for life. 81%, which is 20%, which is 1 in 5, which means Maz nailed it. It's exactly right. 13% said 2 to 3 losing seasons that they would lose interest. 2% said 1 losing season. And then 3.4%, this is my favorite one, 3.4% said bad start in 2020. It's like, I'm a what, 2 and 2? I'm out. That's it.
That's the Murray family.
I love that one. It's like, what does that mean? They start out 1 and 2? Done. That's it. I'm done. 3.4%. More people would bail for a bad start than would bail off just a losing. So that shows you that there's a percentage. I won't even wait around to see what they do this year. A couple bad games, F them. I'm done. That was my favorite response. But so only 81% are fans for life. Only 81%, to which I say, oh, that's pathetic. That is sad. Really? I overestimated you guys. I overestimated. I thought you were now a hardcore real fan base. Turns out it's a bunch of pink hats, because 1 in 5 of you are done. 1 in 5 of you are no longer real fans if they have a bad year or a bad couple years. Oh, that disgusts me, Maz. It grosses me out. It does.
Okay, so again, I'm not as surprised by the number as you are, because again, I told you. I think this is true, though, of any dynasty that is, at its peak. And again, that's really the key part of it, to me anyway, is that at its peak, that you're going to get people dropping out of there fast as soon as it's not at its peak anymore, because they are. They're pink hats. They're spoiled. They're entitled. And they were never in it from the very beginning. They jumped on it somewhere in the middle, and then they jumped out when it got when it lacked being the place to be and the thing to do. And so, I'm not telling you I like it. I just think that is, honestly, Mike, 80% is not that bad.
Oh, it's too low.
Okay, so again, I understand what you're saying, that because I think it still is a football town.
If you ask the same question of Steeler fans, Packer fans, Cowboy fans, what's that number?
Probably 90.
95%,
yeah. Yeah, it's higher. But they have a longer history than the Patriots do. Right? And because with the Patriots, it's really about just one era. It's about 20 years with Brady. Now, if they have...
But I'm sorry, Maz. 1 in 5 of you are not a fan for life? Oh, that is way too... 1 in 5 of you are not a Patriot fan for life.
That 3% number for a bad start to 2020, that's pathetic. That's unacceptable. Oh, that's really sad.
That's pathetic.
Soft, ninny, millennials or whoever you are, really, so you were just here because of Tommy? And I wonder, was the whole experience, you're not a football fan. You're not a Patriot fan.
Correct.
You're just like winning. Or maybe it's this moronic blah culture where you're just like getting on Twitter and blowing Roger Goodell or blowing media people or like, is that all you were in it for? Or to shake your ass at a team that you beat, but you really don't care about the team. You really don't care about the sport. You just like the blah factor of winning. Is that what it is?
No, it's the tool bag. It's the tool bags who want to show up because it's the thing to do. Again, a lot of people are lemmings. And so all of a sudden, you got to go to the Pats game. You got to go. And all of a sudden, here they come. They're coming. Yeah, I got to go because someone told me I got to go. And then the reality is that, this isn't that good anymore. I'm going home. And that's what happens.
I mean,
so again, this is why we call them frauds. There's a fraud factor in every fan base. Now, this one might be a little higher than you expected, and I'm not telling you it's still a football town, though. Don't let that part of it fool you.
Okay, but you're not a fan for life. If we ask Bruins fans that, despite all the reasons they've had over the years, the way that owner has carried himself and the way he runs his business and ran it for a long time and continues to run, like they have reason. You know, what's that number? Bruins fans. Fans for life?
Oh, you're hardcore Bruins fans? I mean, it's close to 100%.
Well, but to me, there's no real in-between. Well,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, look, and it's mid-90s.
90 to 95%. They're highest, I bet, in town.
Exactly. But, I mean, I think Celtics fans are the same way. Celtics fans are this. Now, look, they won't show interest in their team or they won't watch. But, I mean, what would it take for a Celtic fan not to be a Celtic fan? I mean,
no, nothing.
So it's like...
Yeah, I disagree with you on the Celtics fans. I think there's a fraud factor in that fan base, too. When they're entertaining and fun, the people will go and they'll pay attention and, you know, they'll buy up a partial season ticket plan or whatever else. They start to fade and they're not as entertaining? No. Those people will bail, too.
Well, but they're still fans. They're just not going to consume the product, you know? It's not like they're going to give up on the team. I mean, I don't know. I just think 1 in 5 of you are not fans for life. 1 in 5. Because, again, I agree when you look at it, like, say, 81% said they're fans for life. That seems like a big number. Well, no. I wouldn't look at it that way. I'd look at it the other way. 1 in 5 of you are not fans for life? Now, see, I'll give you some mitigating circumstances. If, you know, the next generation of Patriots ownership runs the thing like Dan Snyder does in Washington, okay, you're allowed to bail. If there's, like, a full generation of grotesque mismanagement, then I'm not going to ask you to butt your head against the wall for 20 years. If the sport falls off, like, for example, I understand why there's not Red Sox fans for life, because the sport has fallen off so much and the product has deteriorated so much. It's such a hard watch that you're not a baseball fan. Okay, like that I get. You're not a baseball fan. You're still a Red Sox fan, but you're not a baseball fan because the sport has ground to a halt. So if football goes through some sort of similar thing where the product itself becomes hard to watch, I'll give you a break for that. But just on the face of it, 1 in 5 of you are not Patriots. You're that fair weather. I mean, what do you think? Tom Brady was going to live forever? Like some sort of cyborg?
Some people, I think, thought that, yeah.
I mean, he was ultimately going to retire, and ultimately you're going to hit a spot here where you're not going to 9 Super Bowls in 18 years. I mean, that's just not the way it works. Do people not get that? And as soon as you're not going to 9 Super Bowls in 18 years, you're going to bail on the team? You disgust me. That person disgusts me. What is this? Huh. I mean, so as soon as they stop doing that, you're done. Oh, fat. Don't tell me it's that bad. 1 in 5. That number's way too high for that, Maz. Way too high.
Yeah, so again, I'm just not surprised at the fraud factor. Again, I think this falls under the umbrella of you overestimate humans. People suck, and that they are in it for purely selfish, superficial reasons oftentimes, and nothing more than that. And so, you know, in theory, people should be bought into this franchise now for the long term, and it would really take some sort of cataclysm for people to disconnect from the Patriots, but it won't take long for some of them.
So, I mean, but maybe it's fitting. I think, did DJ Bean say this last night? I want to give credit because I heard someone say, I think it was DJ, on TV on NBC Sports Boston last night. Where it's kind of consistent because the way Patriots fans have carried themselves the last several years is pretty much everyone else sucks. Like even teams that are good or players that are good. Peyton Manning sucks, choker. Andy Reid chokes, sucks, choker. Mike Tomlin's a bozo, sucks. You know, Aaron Rodgers, overrated. You know, if you don't win Super Bowl, if you don't win 6 out of 9 Super Bowls and go nine Super Bowls in 18 years, you blow. You blow. Peyton Manning blows. Aaron Rodgers blows. Tony Dungy blows. You know, this is the way you carry yourself as fans. So if that's the way it is, if you no longer become that team, I guess that is consistent for you to then say, oh, yeah, we suck. Yeah, we suck. I'm not even going to follow them. Because that's the way you've carried yourself when you've been that team that has gone to that level. I just think you've just completely, completely lost grip with reality, with sports reality. And maybe it'll take some time and you'll come back to earth and figure out that, you know, what's really a good competitive product and what you should support and what you shouldn't. But your standards have gotten way out of whack, way out of whack. 3% of you are done if you get off to a bad start. No, so a bat 1 and 2. I'm no longer a fan of the team. I'm done, done. You know, and another 2 or whatever% only gave it one season. So over 5% of you are saying, "Nah, that's it. 9 and 7. F you. You suck. I'm done. I'm no longer a fan."
I told you the 3%. Murray, his father. His wife.
Jesus. So we wanted to update you on that. Add it to the list of your calls and things to talk about. We'll get back to you right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, to your phones, as promised. Jake's in Boston on this topic. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, Felger, I think this is much higher. I think you have a lot of people hiding in the weeds who kind of will start to realize as this goes on how much they took it for granted. And it's two reasons. The highs were so incredibly high. Name me two better sporting events, pound for pound, than Super Bowl 49 and 51. And name me a single event. And I'm thinking maybe Kerrigan Harding matches it with the hype that led up to that event. And then you throw in 36. And 38 was a great Super Bowl, too. Most underrated Super Bowl, in my opinion, in history. The highs were so high, where it's so impossible to duplicate the emotion that's needed to carry that fandom going forward. I know in my own heart, I can't duplicate those moments that happen in that period of time.
Okay, but that doesn't mean you're not a fan of the team. That doesn't mean you've lost interest in the team. You're not a fan. I mean, I just can't compute, you know, anything other than I can't compute or accept, Maz, or figure anything other than the team you rooted for when you were 13 years old is the team you're stuck with. I mean, that's just like that's my experience. I moved, this big cheesehead Wisconsin fan. I moved from Wisconsin when I was 16 years old, okay, in the middle of high school. So I was in Wisconsin for 16 years. I've been in Boston for 32. Like, I've been here twice as long. I'm a Bostonian more than a Wisconsinite or whatever. But at 13, those were my teams, and I couldn't change that if I tried. That's it. I'm stuck. So I want these teams to do well. I care about these teams here, but I'm sorry. I'm a fan of the Packers, the Bucks, and the Brewers, and that's just the way it is. Like that, I'm stuck with that. I can't change that.
And okay, but again,
and it doesn't matter if they do the right thing or the wrong thing. Like I'm just sort of stuck with that. And anything that's not that, I frankly don't get.
Well, so again, but remember that 80% of the people out there are like you. So that you're just I get it. I mean, I'm.
So this is another example where I just don't get why everyone's not like me.
So, yeah, and unfortunately, it's true. You have been a Bostonian longer than a Wisconsinite. I wanted to interject in the middle of that, but I didn't want to interrupt you. Unfortunately, you've been a Bostonian for most of your life.
Way longer.
But that aside, because, Mike, there are those people, and this is the 20% factor, who just jump in because it's a cool, hot thing. That's just what they do. And those people, empty, they're hollow, they're frauds. That's what they are, and we hate them for it. But
with this team specifically, over the last 5 or 6 years, it really has felt like one nonstop party. So if it's not going to feel like that, they're going to bounce.
I mean, I think anyone who changes their allegiance isn't even really a fan. Like, your team is your team. The team you grew up with is your team. The team your father rooted for, that was in your family, that was in your living room when you were a certain age, that's it. But, I mean, like, you know, people don't understand, you know, just to personalize it, like, how I could still be a Bucks fan after all this time. It's like, well, let's say you, individual, moved to Detroit. And let's just say you lived in Detroit for 32 years. Like, I've lived here for 32 years. 32 years you lived in Detroit. I'd even say if you lived in Detroit for 32 years and you were a sportscaster and you covered the Pistons on a daily basis, would you become a Pistons fan?
Nope.
No. I mean, like, that's so foreign to me. Like, I can't even... I can't even compute that, but I think there's people who do that, and I think that person's not really a sports fan. They're just sort of watching the game as they would watch a TV show or something like that. It's just sort of passing through. It's another spot on the dial, but they're not fans. You don't get to pick and choose what teams you root for. I mean, like, I can see short-term little things, like Murray's about to be a big Buccaneers fan and root for Brady over the Patriots. That's different. Like, again, because I consider
that's
that...
2 years tops.
Well, no, but that's like a hardcore sports thing. Like, you're resentful of that, and so you're going to root for them over... You rooted for Clemens and with the Blue Jays for a couple years because you hated Duquette and the Red... Like, that, yeah, at your heart, you're still a chronic Patriot fan and Red Sox fan, but you're such a fan, Murray. You're such a fan of the Patriots that you're so bitter you're going to root for the Buccaneer. Like, that I get. That's not what I'm talking about.
You do it out of spite.
Yes. Yeah. So, which is different. That's actually a sign of passion. But these people in this poll, they get off to a bad start. I'm done. You know, I'm going to lose. One in five are going to lose interest if they have a bad year or two. Ah, you weren't fans in the first place.
Hollow. Hollow, empty souls.
Rock and Lowell on Blake Snell. Go ahead, Rock.
Yeah. Afternoon, guys. Love the show. I just want to comment on a couple of things you guys have been talking about. As far as Blake Snell, does he not watch the news? Does he not realize there are 36 million people that are out of work?
No.
There are bread lines and food lines in every major city in the country, and he's not going to play baseball because I'm not going to get my money. There are a lot of people going without money right now because they're looking for unemployment, and the financial situation of this country is you know, hard for everybody. So, Blake, wake up. And have a little compassion for your fellow man. And, Maz, I agree with you 100%. If they don't want to play for what's already been set up by the owners, you know, you don't want to play for your, you know, reduced salary, then go home.
Yeah, it's about time the owners take a stand. It's about time the owners stand up to that union and go to the wall for something.
I mean, I would take them on. I think that it's reached that stage. I told you, the game, as far as I'm concerned, has become unlikable, unwatchable. And this was before the pandemic. I'm talking about what it was. I mean, I made a wise-ass comment about how I just kill yourself. I hope the game dies. and if I'm the owners, I'm taking that approach with the players. I would look at them and say, do you guys understand what a golden goose you have here? Seriously? That if you just made a little bit of an effort, generations could continue to play the game, as boring as it is relative to the other sports now. It would still survive and be relatively healthy if you just were willing to make a little tweaks, and you're unwilling to do that. So you know what? Fine. Let's accelerate the death process. Kill the sport now.
Bob in New Hampshire on the no crowds in the NFL, and Fox going to superimpose virtual fans and have fake crowd noise pumped into their broadcast. Bob, what do you think of that? Bobby?
Yes. Hey, Bob. How you doing? Thanks, gentlemen. They should just let it go.
That's what people really want to see, the real thing. I mean, people watch stuff on cable TV, and they watch uncensored and R-rated movies. Just put us a warning, and this is real life.
Well, and, so, Bob, this is why it's why I watch the games. I want to know what's actually going on. I want to nonfiction. To me, sports are, I mean, we play up our dramas and all this stuff, but when I watch a ball game, I want nonfiction. What's actually happening, I want to be depicted. And if there's not crowd noise, then I don't want to hear crowd noise. I don't want, I don't want to be insulted by a broadcast that's trying to pretend there's a crowd in there when we all know there's not a crowd in there. I mean, that's just how I feel. But Murray, you actually want it.
I do, and just because it will remind me of how that normal broadcast is supposed to sound. I mean, I know it'll be fake, but just to have that ambient noise of a crowd, I want that because I want it to still be normal. And more than anything else, like, I thought the NFL draft thing was going to be a technological disaster. It wasn't. So with that league specifically and those broadcasters, that was just ESPN, ABC, but I don't know. They've earned my trust, so I want to see what they can do. I don't really need to have them make it all fancied up and gussy it up and put, like, cardboard cutouts and robots in the stands like they're doing for Taiwanese baseball.
Well, but what's the difference, Murray? It's just, the virtual fans is just another way to have mannequins in the seats. It's the same difference.
No, the sound and the look of it. Like, the look of it, I don't need the fake fans to look at, but I do need the fake fans to sound like they're there.
So I told you, I'm intrigued by it. I want to see how they pull it off. Like, is it because it's either going to be really, really bad, or it's going to be, wow, that's cool. They actually pulled that off, and it's not half bad. I don't think it's going to be anywhere in between.
I don't care how good it is. And actually, the better it is, the worse I'm going to feel about it. Don't insult me. I know there's no fans there. I know this is a different experience. It's a different deal. So don't pretend. Again, nonfiction. It's a nonfiction event. Billy in Rhode Island on Blake Snell. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, well, I think it's already been said a million times, so I'm not going to get it. I just want to ask another question. This fake fan stuff, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. Just play the game and take it as it is. It's the times, and that's the way it is. And you would enjoy it more. That fake stuff is going to tell you that it's fake.
No doubt, Billy. No doubt. I mean, even if they get the actual sound and the pitch right, you've got to know when to press the button and when not to press the button. So who's going to be that guy? Some TV guy who's used to hitting the laugh track during a sitcom? How's he going to know? Or is it a hardcore sport guy? Well, then he understands sort of the flow of a game, but does he understand TV? And when to hit? No one's going to know when to hit that button. It's going to sound so goofy and contrived, Maz. You know it.
Okay, so again, I told you, I'm not into the fake part of it either, but I wonder if there's a chance that fake could actually be good. I mean, I don't want to get all sexual.
No, you know, you can do it. You can do it.
I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with a fake orgasm if you don't know if you know that it's not fake.
Oh, no.
Like, if you think that it's real, then so be it.
Oh, I thought you were
admitting to the public that he owns a fleshlight.
I thought you were going fake breast on me.
No, but then, you know, same sort of same neighborhood.
Different.
You know, same thing.
No. Don't fake your orgasm. Fake your breast. No problem. Fake breasts. Fine. Fake
orgasm. Look, if your partner's faking it and you don't know, what's the difference? Well, if it's done well.
If you don't know, it's not really faking it, is it? You go to bed thinking you'd. Well, anyway, that's
boom!
That's how I thought you were going with that, but I should have known from you, Maz. Here comes Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass. It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones again. Blake Snell. This is what I think are just perfectly representative comments from a member of the Major League Baseball Players Association. This is the way the union has carried itself for a long time. And I'm really resentful of the baseball players because how they've gotten in the way of what I think is desperately needed measures to improve the game and speed up the game. And they've been blocking them. Like, just a couple years ago, David Price was asked, you know, he was told that the numbers are suffering, popularity is suffering, the games are dragging on too long, and they want to speed up the games and institute a pitch clock. How do you feel about that, David?
I don't care. I'm taking my time.
I don't care. I'm taking my time. And that's David Price. And so when Blake Snell is asked yesterday, there's a pandemic going on, people are suffering, businesses are struggling to get back to work, will you take a pay cut, or will you work on a new agreement with the owners to get this half season in? Blake Snell says,
yeah, man, I gotta get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine.
So to me, it's the same answer. It's the same answer. And, well, that's the Blake Snell stuff today. Mike in Rosendale, though, wants to defend Snell. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, so Blake Snell has a history of arm problems. From what Matt has said, he's in a fifth year of a five-year contract. He's in a contract year. They're asking him to play for 25 cents on the dollar. So he blows out his arm. He's done for his career. So he doesn't get another contract. So even though he does not very represent himself very well, you got to read between the lines on the point he's making.
So, Mike, can I stop you for a second and tell you that he's in the second year of that 50-year deal and that most of the money now comes? In other words, he made $1 million last year. He was due to make $7 this year, and then it goes up every year. Does that change your opinion at all?
Yeah, no, because I had no idea what his contract was until I thought that's what you said it was. Well, in that case, he's guaranteed for the remaining 3 years, even if he doesn't pitch this year. So.
Correct. Yes. And again, I wasn't trying to jump down his throat. It's just it's a big difference, right? It's a big difference because if you're telling me a guy's in the final year of his contract and whatever, even then I don't accept it. But he's making an argument based on that fact. And so to me, look, Snell's an a-hole. It's really that simple. I just don't think there's any defending him. And so any guy that comes off and says no, I'm getting mine. At a time like this, is an a-hole.
Yeah, fact. And that's why I don't think you can defend it by saying, well, and, you gave that guy facts, and I think he's now on our side on this, but even if you are trying to defend him and say, oh, well, he didn't present himself well. No, he presented himself with the truth. That's how he really feels. I got to get mine.
And I was watching Jeff Passan today. He said there's a lot of players who feel the same way.
Of course they do.
Which I did not need Jeff Passan to tell me. I know how they feel. I know how that players' union has carried themselves for the last generation. And for the last generation, this is what it's been. And this is why change in that sport doesn't exist, because the players fight everything.
I mean, Mike, really, again, every other sport has made modifications to the rules, and I would call them significant, dramatic changes to the rules in the game over the years, except baseball.
I mean, baseball may be the only sport where the players actually have a say in it. Like when football, the NFL decides to replay pass interference or change the onside. Do the players even get a say in that? I don't think they do.
No.
I don't think they do. And I don't think they do in hockey. I mean, I'm just trying to think about it, but I don't think the players in any other sport even get a say on the rules. The rules are the rules, and you play by them. No, in baseball? Pitch clock. Yeah, we don't care that the game. David, the games are lasting 3 hours and 45 minutes. People are tuning the game off or falling asleep or leaving the stadium, and you're losing business because you're taking too long to play, David. Do you care? How about David Price? How do you feel about a pitch clock?
I don't care. I don't care. I'm taking my time.
I don't care. I'm taking my time. And again, the Blake Snell answer, it's the same answer. I don't care.
Man.
Go ahead.
Yeah, man, I gotta get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine.
I'm not playing unless I get mine. It's the same answer. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what you perceive your problems to be, a dying sport or a world pandemic. I'm not interested. No, I'm getting mine. I don't care. I'm taking my time. It's the same answer.
I'm going to start using that. I don't care. I'm taking my time.
This is why I'm playing them back to back. It's the same answer. It's the same attitude.
It's totally the same attitude. It's F you. I'm doing what I want to do.
Paul in Maine. Hi.
Yeah. Hey, Blake Snell, you overdramatic, entitled, ovulating, squint-eyed bitchbag. Thank you for driving the final nail into the MLB coffin. What a bunch of friggin' short-sighted, money-eating surrender monkeys. I'm done with you. I've had it. Go die, baseball. You make me puke.
Okay. I mean, it's the way a lot of people feel about the game. I mean, Maz, even Mr. Baseball feels that way.
I look, again, the pace of play thing put me over the top because people who like the game recognize the problems in it. I mean, that's sort of how I look at it. That people that like the sport say, you know what, this thing has deteriorated. We got to change some stuff. It's not working. And the people playing it are saying, well, you're not changing it on our watch. We do it our way. Screw you. And you look at it and say, you know what, then? You don't really like the game. You don't care about the health of the game in the long term. You're just there to cash your checks and you know, make what you can off it, be a parasite, and then move on. Bye-bye.
Mike in Oregon, are you still there?
I'm still here.
I'm sorry for keeping you there so long. Thanks for waiting, Mike. What do you got? Off the board, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about in the event of seasons canceling and what that would do to draft structures. Like, would Cincinnati, for example, get the number one pick again? NBA, what happens if they don't finish the playoffs? Do the Bucks just happen to get the 32nd pick?
I think in the other sport, hockey, basketball is pretty simple. You know, the seasons are canceled. Who's ever in the lottery is in the lottery, and you bounce the ping pong balls and have your draft. And that just go in inverse order, and yep, the Bucks would pick 32. And the Bruins would pick 31 in the NHL. They had the best record. So I think that's the way that would be. If they wiped out a whole NFL season and had to come back and have a draft next year, dude, that'd be fun. Mm. You'd have a 32-team lottery is how you would do it.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, that's a great question.
I mean, that's what they did, I think, when they lost the hockey season. They had a 32-team lottery, and that's when the Penguins got Sidney Crosby. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's how that went. You say, how did Pittsburgh get Sidney? And you know, unless I have that wrong, or was it Malkin?
I think it was Malkin.
It was one of the two. It was something like that, where Pittsburgh came out of that lockout and got the number one overall pick again. And so, yeah, that's what it would be in football, I think. Meanwhile, fans in the stands or not, Fox is going to pretend like there is. Your thoughts on this and Joe Buck's comments right after these words in our long commercial-free segment.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports, Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think it's about riding the crowd and figuring out when the crowd is at its loudest, when the crowd is at its most excited or most pissed off or whatever it might be. And then you have to respect that and you have to shut up. So going into this season coming up, and that comes with a huge asterisk, and hopefully there is a season, there's probably going to be a season in doing games with no fans, which will be difficult. I think Fox and these networks have to put crowd noise under us to make it as normal viewing experience at home.
You think they'll do that?
I do. Yeah, I really? Think they'll do it. I know. In fact, I know they'll do it, and they are to the
that's,
point
that's
now
the conversation right now.
That's it's pretty much a done deal. I think whoever's going to be at that control is going to have to be really good at their job and be realistic with how a crowd would react depending on what just happened on the field. So it's really important. And then on top of that, they're going to put they're looking at ways to put virtual fans in the stands. So when you see a wide shot, it looks like the stadium's jam packed, and in fact,
wow,
it'll be empty.
That's wild.
Joe Buck and Andy Cohen. And again, we've put to the side this whole other side story of Joe Buck denying he said it, and Twitter trying to blum into saying he did say it, like that whole back and forth, which I still don't quite get. Like on both sides of it.
I think people just don't like Joe Buck for whatever reason.
Well, go ahead, Murray. You explain it to me. You explain to me that part of the story.
I just think it's Joe Buck could put the word "the" on Twitter, and he's just going to get blood. Like, "Dad, you spelled it wrong. How come you didn't use an uppercase? I hate you, Joe Buck. Go F yourself." Like, it's a Joe Buck thing. He's just a polarizing
polarizing
figure. I think going back, I mean, people my age, you know, I like him now, but I always thought he was kind of a sanctimonious douche. Remember the thing with Randy Moss? Like, that's disgusting when he moved the crowd in Green Bay. Like, he always kind of was a bit of an uppity. He softened a bit, but I still think that there's people that look at him as that kind, you know, that, like, finger-wagging Nana type.
So, I mean, so he said that to Andy Cohen, who's not Andy Dick, who I can somehow confuse those two. But Andy Cohen, he tells him, yeah, Fox is looking at, and it's pretty much a done deal. They're going to fake the crowd noise and looking at virtual fans. I mean, it's like he said it, quote unquote. And it got reprinted, and then he comes out on Twitter, Joe Buck does this morning, like, I didn't say that. And then, of course, all Twitter's like, yeah, you did. So, no, I didn't say that. Yeah, you did. I didn't say that. Yeah, you did. And I guess that's been going on all day on Twitter with Joe Buck, which to me is just I another example of, like, I just – Twitter, man. Anyway, he said it.
It's wild.
It's obvious he said it. It's obvious Fox is looking at it. It's obvious that if they are not even looking at it, they've decided to do it because they're just the network to do it. They've done all this goofy, awful crap in the past, you know, with their hockey coverage or the contrails on the puck or the shadow on the puck when it's on the near boards or Cletus the football robot and the
Cletus.
Remember the little baseball guy that would pop up and give you baseball rules? Like, that was them, wasn't it? Or was that a hockey guy? They had a little...
I think it was a hockey guy.
They had like this little cartoon character that would pop
Scooter.
Up on the
Scooter?
Scooter.
Scooter was the name
Scooter.
Of the character on Fox.
Was it hockey or baseball?
Baseball.
It was Scooter. Scooter. I was thinking of a bygone era, Peter Puck, Scooter, if you remember him. But anyway, go ahead.
They might have done that, too. That sounds familiar.
Peter Puck, yeah.
Peter Puck and Scooter, they pop. Two line offsides is when... So, like, the Fox has always done this.
I don't remember this. So, like, the old Windows paperclip, it would just pop up and give you, like, scoop about the game? And
standby.
Like,
yeah, it would, yeah. It would explain rules and things.
Huh. Yeah, it was Scooter, fun. Scooter, I remember. Expanding the audience to the narrow person.
Yeah, Peter Puck. Peter Puck.
Peter Puck.
Peter Puck. Peter, Wiki even has a page on him. Peter Puck is a hockey puck-shaped cartoon character. The puck, whose animated adventures appeared on both... Oh, it was NBC that did this. NBC's Hockey Game of the Week and CBC's Hockey Night in Canada. Say what?
Long time ago.
During the 70s. So yeah. So this is different.
No, what? Scooter was more recent.
Scooter, let's Google Scooter on Fox.
This time, Scooter. I'm going to talk about timing, equipment, officials, and players. Hey, cool it, fellas. I got something to say.
So
that's Peter Puck.
Okay, that's Peter Puck. Scooter was an animated character used by Fox Sports during MLB games. The character is a baseball with a human facial characteristic, is voiced by Tom Kenny, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, you have Scooter. He's going to pop up on the screen and say, the neighborhood play, boys and girls, is when the second baseman. So Fox has always done this stupid stuff. Always done this stupid. So, of course, Fox is going to look at fake crowd noise and virtual fans. So I don't know what Joel Buck is fighting, and I don't know why you're fighting him. Like, I don't get the whole thing. Okay, so it's just sort of obvious he said something. He probably said something he wasn't supposed to say, and so he tried to backtrack it the next day. All right, so, like, obviously, that's what happened.
Well,
I'm taking my time. I don't care.
I can give you this. I have some proof, at least. You know, it's a really good source. A buddy of mine, I don't want to give away because I don't think he wants to get in trouble, but he works in this, you know, he works in sport, professional sports broadcasting. He texted the lead audio engineer for Fox, MLB, and the NFL, and that guy got back to him and said, it's real, and what's being worked on is actually pretty good. So he was, I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to back down because of all the blowing, but you can just even tell with the way that he said it. Like, it's the truth.
It's
this
the
is
truth.
Happening.
Okay.
And so just go with it.
So, I mean, again, so I just spent 5 minutes on something I didn't want to spend any time on. But the crux of the matter is, oh, it's real, and the guy says it's pretty good. F you.
See, I'm intrigued.
Oh,
I'm
F intrigued. You, it's pretty good. Oh, this is some, and I don't, I'm sure your friend's a great guy. I'm just doing my rant. I'm sure it's some insipid dork who's come up with some sort of program or some sort of TV production. Oh, my God, this is pretty cool. Watch what we can do. We can superimpose this onto this, and we put this sound effect onto that, and, oh, it's going to be pretty cool. Like, dude, go back to your CMG and, like, go produce a cartoon if that's what you're interested in. The sports is supposed to be nonfiction. What's happening? And then the broadcast conveys what's happening. That's all I'm interested in. I know I don't care what your friend says. It's going to be contrived. It's going to be corny. It's going to make my skin crawl. That's what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, Phil, I kind of like it. I think they're going to bring in Pixar to do that stuff.
This Classy Scooter. You know, a sweeping curveball can save my gorgeous face from getting smacked. I scoop from one side of the plate to the other and drop down at the same time. So remember, a sweeping curveball sweeps right over home plate.
Aye, aye, aye. So that was Fox Scooter explaining what a curveball is.
Yeah, Scooter.
Good God. So this, of course it's real. Of course it's real, Joe. But the, oh my God, this is, to me, it's an affront. It's insulting. Don't insult me.
I'm telling you, I got no problem with the fake orgasm.
Don't insult me and don't treat me like I'm a kid. And don't pretend that I got you off when I didn't get you off, Maz. I am so against the fake orgasm. It's not even funny. Like, come on.
I mean, what if you don't know it's fake?
But this is, but we know the crowd's not in the building. We know the crowd's not in the building, so don't insult my intelligence. Don't turn this into a video game. Don't turn this into a cartoon. Don't turn this into dome hockey where I hit the boo button. Just give me what it is. Give me what it is. It's going to be a different game. It's going to be a different product. Just have your broadcast reflect the new normal.
Hey, Scooter here. I'm getting blasted all around the park. But sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do, you know what I mean? A nice hard fastball up and in. Oh, that'll get him thinking.
In the end. I tell you, it's better than Sterling and Waldman.
Oh, God.
Mass, you're actually looking forward to the thing? You actually want to see this?
I told you. I want to see what it looks like. I want to see how they pull this thing off. I want to see whether it, you know, because it could be really, really bad. It probably will be. But I do wonder, with all this technology now, whether there's a chance that they could actually make it half decent. I don't know.
There's no way.
I'm allowing for the fact that there are creative minds out there that come up with good stuff. And do I think it's going to work? No. But am I intrigued to see them try? Yes, well, I am. Absolutely.
And let me tell you why again. Can you rerun the Joe Buck cut? Just give me the whole thing, Stu. I'll stop it when I hear what I want to hear.
Wild.
Yeah, no, the beginning.
I think it's about riding the crowd and figuring out when the crowd is at its loudest, when the crowd is at its most excited or most pissed off or whatever it might be. And then you have to respect that and you have to shut up. So going into this season coming up, and that comes with a huge asterisk, and hopefully there is a season, there's probably going to be a season in doing games with no fans, which will be difficult. I think Fox and these networks have to put crowd noise under us to make it as normal viewing experience at home.
You think they'll do that?
I do. Yeah, I think they'll do it. I know. In fact, I know they'll do it. And they are to the
That's the conversation right now.
It's pretty much a done deal. I think whoever's going to be at that control is going to have to be really good at their job.
Okay,
and
so that's
be realistic with how a crowd.
I'm sorry. I interrupted. It's so me. The one part I wanted to hear. Just pick it up right there.
It's pretty much a done deal. I think whoever's going to be at that control is going to have to be really good at their job and be realistic with how a crowd would react depending on what just happened on the field. So it's really important. And then on top of that, they're going to put, they're looking at ways to put virtual fans.
Virtual
in the stands.
Fans, so F white, off with the mannequins like that. I don't need them. Virtual fans. Whoever is at that control, Maz, that's so. I'm sure there's some nerd with some computer program who can make a realistic crowd noise. Like, that's obvious. Like, you can do that. When do you
Wild.
Hit the? When do you hit the button? When do you not hit the button? And now you're
you know, as a sports fan, we've been conditioned with this Pavlovian response. You know, of course, yeah. As viewers of sports, we know that we've become conditioned to associate performance with a response: goal, touchdown, yay!
They're going to hire some non-sports fan to do it because he makes less money. That's what's going to happen.
Well, exactly. Is it going to be a TV guy or a sports guy? Because the TV guy doesn't know sports, and the sports guy doesn't know TV. And meanwhile, Joe Buck is talking about. He was just talking at the very beginning of the cut. Generically, you need to figure out the crowd and know when to let the crowd breathe and when not. So now it's going to be a coordinated little dance, little show, little play put on between Joe Buck and whatever nerd is on that button. Like,
yeah.
This is not why I'm watching the game, Maz. I'm just trying to watch the ball game here.
It's not the reason I'm watching the game either, but it's usually there, and I want to see how they try to fabricate it because, honestly, I think they're going to screw it up royally. And the idea that there'll be virtual fans in the stands, Like, I don't know. What are they going to look like? They're going to be fat ones with their shirts hanging out and, like, their belly, you're rubbing their belly and picking the lint out of there? Like, I don't know. Who's going to make Fireman Ed? I want to see all this crap because I think it has a chance to be wildly entertaining.
It's insulting is what it is. It's insulting. You're treating me like a child or an idiot. You're treating me like some sort of child or idiot.
No.
Or just sort of casual Nancy that's coming by. Oh, there's a ball game. Look at the crowd. Oh, wow. They got so excited for that. They're treating me like a moron or a kid.
No. No, once again, you're personalizing it. They're not treating you like an idiot or
a
child.
They're treating us like children.
They're treating the average American like an idiot or a child, and they happen to be right.
All right. On that note, we will pick up your thoughts on this. Blake Snell, the Patriots popularity thing, all of it right to you, I promise, after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.